Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Do you wonder about how to raise your child to be spiritually aware? Well, it's an important topic, and today we're going to talk about it. Today's Healthy Family Connections podcast, episode number 15, How to Raise a Spiritually Aware Child, is sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW. And I'm your host, Neil D. Brown. And like you just heard, we're talking today about nurturing our children's spirituality. It's a question that comes from Priyal from India, and she's currently living in Iowa City, Iowa. And it's one I never anticipated being asked, so I'm honored. And of course, we all know this is an educational podcast to give you great strategies for achieving your dream of a healthy and happy family. It is not a substitute for psychotherapy when you need it. Well, Priyal asks, how do you help a child establish a relationship with God? How do you make him or her spiritually aware, and at what age? Well, this is a wonderful question, Priyal. And since I'm not a theologian, I am a psychotherapist, you'll get a psychotherapy perspective. So let's dive in. For starters, most listeners will relate to belief in God and others simply won't. But regardless of your personal belief, developing one's spirituality is an important thing for all of us. Our spirituality is that part of us that transcends the physical world and makes us know that we're part of something much bigger than ourselves. Spirituality takes many forms. In many cases, it takes form in various religions. It takes form in our attitudes, our behaviors towards life, and it takes form in any way a person chooses to access and express it. Many people find their spiritual selves through prayer, meditation, others in nature. Some prefer to access it in solitude, and others in community. Some a combination of the two. And since Priyal asks about how to help her child develop their spirituality and their relationship to God, I'll speak to that, but listeners can apply the principles discussed to their own belief systems. Well, young children are sponges soaking up the world around them. They're looking to understand the world around them, and a big part of that is learning the social and cultural norms. They imitate what they see. So if your goal is for your child to develop a relationship with God, Priyal, well, then the first thing to do is show them how you have a relationship with God. Let me address the age question. Learning a relationship with God or developing spirituality is much like anything else. Language, art, music, reading, cleaning up are all things we teach from very, very young. And kids learn it at the level of their age, and then they advance as they get older. So your child isn't going to be too young to start. Here are some principles that I think will make learning about and developing a relationship with God very helpful to your child's development. Start with inviting gratitude to God for the wonderful things in our lives. Many people do this with bedtime prayers. And don't be surprised if your young child thanks God for their dolly or their stuffed animal. Some people have prayers before meals and express gratitude for the gifts from the earth, the people who grow and harvest it, and whomever prepares it. We can thank God for caring about us and helping us learn and grow. Research indicates that kids who believe that there is a God who cares about them feel more secure and have better mental health than those that don't have that belief. Also, we want to teach our kids that God wants to help us learn and grow and isn't sitting around judging and looking to find fault with us, but rather is there to guide us when we are open and listening. I'd like to address asking God for what we want. Since we will all face hardship, rather than asking God to make our hardship go away, it's best to ask God for the courage or the personal qualities necessary to deal with the hardships we need to face. Since some hardships are unavoidable and they're not always going to go away, we don't want our kids to be angry with or let down by God when things go wrong. So we can ask God for the ability to make good decisions and help us be the best people we can be. As part of our spiritual development, I think it's important for all of us to share our positive intentions. Some will pray for the welfare of others. And there's so much that goes on in the world that we feel like there's nothing that we can do anything about. It's at least by sharing our positive intentions, whether through prayer or simply putting it out there into the universe, it helps us feel connected, less disengaged, and less helpless. So just putting our positive intentions out there is something that we can do. In order to have these spirituality building activities in our lives, there needs to be a ritual or a time and a place that it takes place. So whether it's daily, weekly, or special occasions, it'll be more meaningful and likely to be internalized by our kids if these activities are done in the home and not just in a place of worship. Sometimes using routines, we take the routine for granted and stop getting the benefit from it. So keep routines fresh, be sure there's new material being offered, and that there's a combination of sincerity, solemnity, and then humor and fun. This helps kids know that spirituality and religiosity aren't unpleasant parts of life. They're enjoyable. And kids will ask questions about God. What does God look like? What does God want me to do about this or that? Who made God? Why did God make Susie sick? Well, a lot of questions you don't have to answer. For instance, if your child asks, what does God look like? You can say, well, no one knows for sure. What do you think God looks like? And then you can ask your child to go draw a picture of what they think God looks like. If your child asks, why did God make Susie sick? You can simply answer that God didn't make Susie sick. She just got sick. And God will help her deal with it and give her comfort to deal with it. And we can help Susie get better by sending her our best wishes too. So we can write her a card or just make a prayer for her. We don't want God to be in charge of what happens, but we want God to be there for us to help us deal with what happens. If going to a place of worship, church, temple, synagogue, or mosque is part of your lifestyle, there should be a positive, age-appropriate activity and a group for your child to be part of. Otherwise, the experience will be counterproductive to embracing either religion or building one's spirituality or relationship with God. When kids get to middle school, they often start to resist going to the family place of worship if there isn't a group there that they're very connected with. That's when parents are going to need to make a judgment call. If your kid is doing well and the religious group is not strong and you're fine with you for them not to continue because you don't think it's going to be that beneficial, that's okay. You know, if the group is strong and you see there is an important set of relationships for your young teen or preteen there, you might want to keep the expectation that they continue. If they're not involved in a positive peer group in school or anywhere place else, and there is one at their place of worship, then by all means, it's important to keep him or her involved. But it's important not to get involved with control battles around going to your place of worship. I just can't tell you how many adults I've met with who describe post-traumatic stress from being forced to attend unrewarding religious activities as kids. So I sometimes see kids who are very alienated from their parents because they were forced to participate in religious activities that just really weren't appropriately designed for them. So if your teen has your permission not to attend or to attend less, it will be really good to have an ongoing conversation with them about how they intend to honor and grow their relationship with God. Maybe it will be by providing volunteer work and doing good works. Make sure that you maintain rituals that express gratitude and positive intention for others in your home. And it's always important to acknowledge the positive things your child or teenager does for others and reassuring them that their words and their efforts make a real difference in the world. So parents, if you're looking to help your child or teenager develop their spirituality and their relationship with God, focus on just a few things: developing gratitude, expressing positive intentions to others, doing good works, and requesting strength, wisdom, and good personal qualities to deal with life's challenges. Help them know that these things make a big difference, both in who they are and to others, and remind them that God doesn't expect us to be perfect. And while it is natural for us to feel bad or guilty when we do something bad or hurtful, that God is there to help us learn and grow. Well, many thanks to Priyal for inviting this important discussion. And I look forward to answering your questions too, so please send them. Well, thanks for tuning in. Please remember to take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. I'll see you soon. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.